I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, an update on the Bush administration's signature education initiative, No Child Left Behind. And in a tight credit market, can you still borrow money for college? Our money coach will tell us a little later. Plus, the Mocha Moms on that disturbing report about STDs and teen girls. But first, Alphonso Jackson announced his resignation as Secretary of Housing and Urban Development yesterday, 4 years to the day after he was confirmed to the post. Like many other officials heading for the exits in this second presidential term, Jackson cited personal and family matters in a Monday press conference. But his departure is widely seen as a response to a growing scandal over alleged influence peddling, allegations that he repeatedly tried to steer contracts to friends and political allies. It was, as the New York Times put it, a striking reversal of fortune for Mr. Jackson, who not only brought a compelling personal biography to Washington, he was the youngest of 12 children of a foundry worker, but he was also the first housing secretary to have actually run a public housing authority. We wanted to talk more about Alphonso Jackson's tenure and legacy. Joining us to talk about this are Bruce Katz, he's the director of the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution, and Ann Lott, the president and CEO of the Dallas Housing Authority, who worked with Alphonso Jackson when he held that same position in Dallas. Welcome to you both. Thank you for speaking with us.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, thank you both. Now, Bruce, as I mentioned, that Alphonso Jackson was the first housing secretary to have actually run a public housing authority. Were there high hopes for his tenure when he arrived? I should mention that he was deputy secretary for 3 years before he became secretary.
Well, I think there were high hopes because to be the housing secretary and oversee not just housing programs but also urban programs, it really helps to have had experience and expertise at the local level, as Mr. Jackson did in the public housing arena, or my former boss, Henry Cisneros, had as the former mayor of San Antonio. So these are the programs and policies that really impact people where they live. So having that experience on the ground is an enormous help.
So, Bruce, how would you assess Alphonso Jackson's tenure overall?
I think he's been a disappointment as the HUD secretary. He's resided over HUD during really a tumultuous period in our housing markets. Some of that is obviously the short-term effect of a period of loose and reckless lending that has led to, you know, major foreclosures throughout the United States. But I would say he's also presided over HUD during a period where the housing challenge changed structurally in the United States, where we saw this growing gap between the wages people earn in the United States and the price of housing, whether it's ownership housing or for rent housing. And I would say that the secretary really failed to explain what was happening in the country, which is really one of the prime responsibilities of the secretary, to take the big picture on housing in the United States, and then to put forth a series of creative and imaginative solutions that really fit our moment.
And can you give us some examples of how Alphonso Jackson addressed the challenges of the housing market in Dallas?
Well, I realize I'm talking to you and you're in D.C. and I am in Dallas. But if you ever have the opportunity to come to Dallas and if you speak to the residents who participate in DHA's program, they'll tell you about the contribution he made in West Dallas. When I started with the Housing Authority in 1985, West Dallas was some of the worst public housing in the nation's inventory. And he created a master plan for the demolition of all of those units and the revitalization and development of housing in that area. But it was more than that. Mr. Jackson had a very holistic approach for housing, and he often told us that we were more than bricks and mortar. And at a time when no one wanted to live in West Dallas, at a time when it was difficult to recruit any kind of retail into the area, he brokered a deal, established a nonprofit, purchased a shopping center in the area, not so much because he wanted to own a shopping center, but he couldn't get banks or anyone else to come into the area and make the investment. He met with Liz Minyard and convinced her that it was an area that was worth investment, and Minyard did come into the community and built a shopping, Minyard's food store. And basically what that symbolized is that he cared about the families and he cared about the services to the area.
And also that he was proactive and creative. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and we're talking about the resignation of HUD Chief Alfonso Jackson. Our guests are Bruce Katz of the Brookings Institution and Ann Lott. She's the CEO of the Dallas Housing Authority, which Jackson once headed. Bruce, do you see any evidence of that kind of creativity and forward thinking in his tenure as HUD Chief? And are those positions so different that perhaps it's not a fair comparison?
No, I don't. I think it is a fair comparison. In fact, the project that she is talking about, the West Dallas project, was the recipient of a major public housing redevelopment grant, Hope 6, in the 1990s. And ironically, what happened in this decade is that program, which provided funds not just to demolish public housing, but to redevelop affordable housing as mixed income and economically integrated with all the positive benefits on families and local markets that were described, that program was essentially killed in the past 6 to 8 years. It's been basically reduced from about $700 million a year to about $150 million a year for the entire country. So I think this was the promise of Secretary Jackson, that with all that expertise that he had sort of amassed at the local level, that he would bring that knowledge and bring that creativity and bring that imagination up to the federal level and provide the broader context for this kind of creative problem solving at the local level. Instead, what has happened over the past 6 to 8 years is we've actually stopped and killed the programs that were enabling the kind of efforts that he pioneered in Dallas.
Why do you think that is?
It's an odd shift because it's not just about Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, because in the late 1980s and early 1990s when Jack Kemp was secretary, we saw that a secretary with a conservative ideology could really have many new ideas and imaginative solutions to the issues that were facing us at that time. I think what has really dominated federal policymaking in the past 6 to 8 years is a budget-cutting mania with regard to programs that serve very low-income people and inner-city and older suburban communities. So essentially, HUD has been squeezed.
Anlot, have you experienced that? Do you believe that your agency is now underfunded? Do you believe that that housing is getting its fair share of federal support?
Well, no, obviously we're not. I am, however, able to set demand from the administration. And I do suggest to you that he still has the knowledge and the creativity and the innovation that he displayed in Dallas. But what's different, quite frankly, is the politics. I've never seen anything like it in my life. When you come to Dallas at the local level and at the state level, Republicans and Democrats are able to come together and develop common solutions to common problems. As I look at the budget and I look at the funding for all of the departments of the federal government, HUD hovers somewhere at the bottom of this schedule. And you have to ask yourself why. I do believe that this secretary is doing the best that he can with the resources that he has. But quite frankly, I feel that he is being asked to make bricks with no straw.
Bruce, two big criticisms of Alfonso Jackson, particularly by the lawmakers in Congress. One is that these allegations of influence peddling, that he used the influence of his office to steer contracts to friends and political allies. Those matters are being investigated, and I don't know that you or Ann either has any sort of direct knowledge of that. But the second is that he failed to be proactive in addressing this subprime mortgage crisis, that he didn't use the power of his office to provide appropriate oversight, that a lot of these sort of lenders ran amok over homeowners who couldn't be expected to understand exactly what they were getting into, and that he didn't do anything to forestall that. Are those fair criticisms? Could a housing chief have played a positive role if he'd been more aggressive?
Yes, I think it's because there's really two functions of a housing chief, is one to be the premier housing advocate and spokesperson in the United States, and to bring to light, really be a truth teller about market trends and dynamics and how they're affecting low and moderate and middle-income people and communities. The other function, obviously, is an oversight function. And in that regard, the Secretary of HUD shares oversight with other federal regulators. And when we saw these teaser loans and subprime loans beginning to really dominate the market in 2005 and 2006, I think the HUD secretary had to come to the table and say, we need to act on this because a lot of people are going to get hurt and a lot of communities are going to get hurt. And we've seen that in Detroit. We've seen that in Cleveland. We've seen that in Vegas, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the entire federal government was asleep at the switch, to be frank, in the middle part of this decade. And the HUD secretary bears some of that responsibility. Not all of that responsibility, but clearly some of it.
Finally, I wanted to ask each of you, what do you think Alphonso Jackson's legacy will be? Anne?
He made a difference in Dallas. He made a difference in how he treated low-income families. He made a difference in how he created these master plans for redevelopment. And it's a blueprint, quite frankly, that I followed and I've taken to other communities in Dallas to revitalize. And I believe that it's a positive impact and a positive difference for the citizens of Dallas.
Bruce Katz?
Well, I would build from Ms. Lott's comments, and I would say that the legacy will be the failure to translate the innovation and energy and creativity and imagination that Secretary Jackson showed in Dallas and at the local level to the federal level. And perhaps that is a comment on the hyperpolarization and partisanship of the time, but I think actually it's more of a comment on this administration's failure to understand the dramatic changes that are happening in housing in the United States, this growing gap between wages and prices, and obviously the subprime phenomenon. And I think it's just a failure to recognize that this country faces some dramatic challenges in this arena that require a new kind of partnership between the federal level and these creative local leaders to really make homeownership and affordable housing a reality.
Bruce Katz is the director of the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. He joined us from their studios in Washington. And Anne Lott is the president and CEO of the Dallas Housing Authority. She joined us from a studio in Dallas. I want to thank you both. I also want to thank you and our listeners for your patience with our technical issues. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
I'm Michelle Martin. The conversation continues on Tell Me More from NPR News.